The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, here we go. Hey, good afternoon, one and all. It is John DePietro. It is a political Monday. The John DePietro Show this hour is brought to you by our friends at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Stop in and see them today, lunch or dinner. Always a great meal waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Enjoy unique rustic setting, full bar, large dining area, the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. I want to say good afternoon to all who are enjoying the program on Facebook Live. Facebook Live brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com, EliteWirelessRI.com. If you're on Facebook, find my page, which is John DePietro Show. And remember, folks, there is a part on the Facebook page, Visitors Post. And that's where you can post links to stories, post very different comments, whatever it may be. That's what it's there for. So follow it, use it. Again, Facebook Live brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com, and our producer is Kerry. It is a political Monday, and joining us right now, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. We want to say good afternoon to our friend, managing editor Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Justin, I want to start off that, and I give the Journal credit. Last week, they were the ones that found out, and they actually had to fight Rhode Island Commerce Corporation, whatever we're calling it these days. Used to be Rhode Island EDC, Economic Development Corporation, and then people used to call it was really Rhode Island Eating and Drinking Corporation. But Rhode Island Commerce Corporation, Stephen Pryor, and the Raimondo people really didn't want to release a lot of details. When they did, because the Journal fought them on it, they redacted a lot of it. But I'd love to hear your thought on, because there are politics involved with this, but the Rhode Island pitch for Amazon 2, Headquarters 2. Now, Rhode Island did not make the cut. But number one, the fact that the Journal had to go through the motions to fight the Raimondo people to just get some of the details. And then number two, your impression on the proposal from some of the information that the Journal was able to pull out of it.
Well, to start off, let's remember that the reason they changed the name from EDC to Commerce, Commerce Corp, Commerce RI, was after 38 Studios, the whole debacle, the EDC had no credibility anymore. And so they changed the name. And so now we've got this great new agency that's just like the old agency. You know, I don't know why this was a secret. You know, from the beginning, it ought to have been put out there that what Rhode Island was pitching. You could argue maybe dollar amounts aren't good to put out there publicly because then some other company might call up and say, hey, well, you were offering Amazon this, so I want this much. And you could kind of argue that, although to that I would suggest that maybe we just shouldn't have government giving out taxpayer special deals for major corporations, and then we wouldn't have that problem. But the idea that it took months and aggressive pursuit by journalists to get just really just a pamphlet that the state put together for Amazon is pretty outrageous, and shows you how tight to the vest and they think they can run things top to bottom. My impression of the proposal itself reinforces that. I mean, there are all kinds of pictures in there of proposed buildings and locations and sketches of what it would look like in place. And somebody put together a full timeline from the start to the finish of development of the project. And, you know, I'm sure somebody at Commerce had a lot of fun playing architect for a couple of weeks and doing all that. But I don't know why we would devote resources to that, especially when it was always unlikely that we would have a shot at it in Rhode Island. So I think they spent way too much time and effort on it, and they ought to be focused on other things, like, you know, just making things better for the people who actually live here right now.
One of the things that surprised me about it, and obviously they didn't make the cut, Amazon came out with very specific guidelines of exactly what they were looking for. You know, West Coast flights, and they like, and it is kind of the new model. If you see exactly the headquarters they have in Seattle, it is like a campus-like atmosphere. These are very well high-paying jobs. I mean, this set off a frenzy across the country of different places. Boston spent $500,000 just on the pitch in order to get it. But one of the things that really jumped out at me, and I know the Raimondo people said that they supposedly had an airline that if they did get it, that they would do the cross-country flights. But Justin, one of the things that really jumped out at me is that they tried to incorporate that Superman building into it, because to me, it's like you're and as I said that, you know, last week, you're trying to go with your best foot forward, and to pawn off something that, let's face it, no one wants that building. The owner, High Rock, won't do anything with it. It remains vacant. It needs at least $120 million rehab, at least. But to try to do that, I could not believe they were trying to do that, because I was also, and again, I don't know, I'm not privy to all the results, but to me, the 195 land should have just been given that to them. And then you have the Brown RISD kids could really walk down the hill and work at Amazon, because that you want to retain a lot of those graduates. You have access to the Port of Providence, which is big. IESET even would have been more innovative as far as Quonset has an airstrip and has, you know, they don't have an airline, but they have an airport at Quonset. And I mean it. I would give it. You're talking about 50,000 jobs, and they're willing to spend $5 billion. I would have given them your planes are going to be able to, boom, land right at Quonset. You could have high-speed ferry right down the bay right there to your campus building, whatever it's going to be. Or, you know, you have train tracks that even go through there. You have basically whatever they want. But I cannot get over the fact they tried to force that Superman building down. I mean, I know of how it looks for the landscape, and there it is, and boy, you look at it, and there's our cityscape and so forth, but it's not doing anybody any good. I just was astounded to me that they put that in there. It was like you're ignoring it. At no point in the Amazon pitch did they say, and we also want to be in an old decrepit building that no one else wants to be in. I mean, the guy, High Rock, they can't sell that for $1 because of what the taxes are and how much. Even if they tried to sell it for $1, you're not selling it for $1. It needs $120 million worth of work, plus the property taxes are outrageous, plus it doesn't have parking. Don't you find it astounding that, like, that's the best foot we put forward, which is, once again, the stupid Superman building?
Well, especially when you consider Amazon, you're talking one of the three or four, when people say high tech or tech giants, Silicon Valley, they think of Amazon. And here, the reason nobody will buy the building is it's so antiquated. You would have to do so much work just to fit it, to do high tech kind of stuff. So the idea that would be your starting point is kind of crazy. And then I encourage people to go find the pictures. Most of the news reports have a link to the report itself. And you find a picture, even the picture doesn't look appealing. It's like they took you remember when we were kids and you get the action figures, maybe He-Man or Transformers or something, and then a year or two later they would come out with one that was supposed to be a different character, but it was like they changed a few of the pieces on it. That's basically what it was. They put a glass shell around the middle of the building, and they said, this is their new high-tech mixture of new and old, and even a picture they used, you couldn't tell from the picture what it was, but it almost looked like there was debris all over the top of the existing building. You don't know what they're thinking, which is why it makes you wonder why we're devoting government resources to have people do these pitches. So that was one, was here, you can have this old building that nobody wants. And the other was somehow another proposal is they would wipe out essentially all of the government offices by the State House. And that would be Amazon. And they would... You could have all of this property, build whatever buildings you wanted all around our State House. And to me, that was the most emblematic, because it was here's our State House and here's you. You will dominate our State House like nothing else in the state. And that's really what they're promising. And a lot of the language goes to that, too, how in Rhode Island they'll have influence. And the Commerce is actually bragging about how quickly government can move when it sees an inside deal that it wants to jump on. And that's just between those two, it's just astounding. It shows you really they want to do this central planning thing where they think this handful of people who work in government, largely because they'll promote powerful politicians, just like Commerce, I've been complaining from the beginning, has been promoting Gina Raimondo, not so much as their boss, but as a politician. And those are the people behind there, and they get these jobs creating, planning the world and planning the future. And it's not an appealing future. It might be appealing to their interests, but it's not what anybody would suggest that they wanted for their own private enterprise. And that gets right to the problem is Rhode Island is not a good place to do business.
No.
So that's what would attract, if we were, say, the Seattle of the East, which we could be if we could get government off our shoulders, then, you know, we wouldn't have to have all these pitches. Maybe, you know, in competition with other states, we'd have to do grease some skids here and there. But if you had that, there's plenty of land, there's plenty of opportunity. That's where you should start. And these kinds of pitches just put down right on paper with glossy photos just how that is not the way our government goes about constructing society.
No. And also, on top of that, and folks, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It is Political Monday. I just think if you're going to do it, look at the way Boston, I mean, they spent sizable money, but they have that land, which was Suffolk Downs, the old racetrack. And they came up with, we're going to design and restructure infrastructure as far as the T-lines in order to, it's an empty piece of property, and they could build the whole basic campus, $5 billion campus right there. And then the infrastructure we're going to put in is going to, so Amazon workers could live and work in the city of Boston and make a very easy commute to get there. To me, if you're Rhode Island, and again, I'm not denying it's an uphill battle, but at the very least, if I'm Amazon, I envision, okay, it is a state, meaning Rhode Island, by the water. So you want to put your best foot forward. Like, I can't imagine a rendition that is not right by the water. And that 195 land is tailor-made for it. I don't know what all their plans are. To me, at least then, it is campus-like, which they like. It does look into the mouth of the bay. I even was going back and forth on Twitter with Patrick Anderson of the Journal, and I even said, I would have gone out of the box and said, we're going to give you either Patience or Prudence Island down on the bay and make that Amazon Island for, they have their own company retreat and resort or whatever. Like, that is something that Austin can't offer. That is something that Atlanta cannot offer. Think out of the box. Think of that they want to embrace the whole nature that they're going to be in an East Coast city and make it like Amazon Island in some way, but not, you're trying to pawn off this decrepit old building. Like, what is it going to take, Justin, before we move on to the next topic, for them to realize, you know, if Amazon wanted that, they would have put in their pitch, and we want to be in some kind of old historic type building. I cannot believe that they once again tried to drag them in on the Superman building thing, which at this point, listen, it is what it is. You got to play the hand that you were dealt. If you know that High Rock, they made a bad land deal. It sits vacant. No one wants it. The building continues to be decrepit. It's falling apart inside and outside. That's why they have the nets up, because the building is literally falling apart. To try to pawn that off on someone like Amazon, to me, is just that. That is not a smart move. So, but your final thought on it?
Well, you only have to look at the way we've done business. The way that nobody will fill that building, the problems the Paul Sox Stadium is having, to see we're not fooling Amazon. And it seems to me, I mean, Boston put a lot of effort into that, but it was pretty clear Boston always had a shot to get into the final.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I mean, the Wall Street Journal from the beginning took Amazon's criteria and had nice charts showing every city that could compete. Rhode Island was not on there.
No.
Providence was not on there. And so to devote much effort at all on this is just kind of distracting to me.
And yeah.
And to go about it the way they did, I mean, if you're gonna shoot for the stars, yeah, propose, here's an island, or how about this, never been done before, we'll do a man-made island in the middle of the bay, or maybe it'll, you know, almost look like it's hovering over the water, or something like that.
Right.
But don't put a lot of effort into it. Just say, hey, this is what we could do if you're kind of interested.
Total wild card. You're right. Just totally out of the box. I want to move on to what do you make of this controversy? Boy, the Journal has really done a good job illustrating it. I never remember them questioning. Granted, it is unprecedented. But what do you make of the controversy in Flap with Frank Coletta, Allison Bologna, Channel 10, Sinclair? And I'm not criticizing the Journal coverage by any way. Channel 10 has been completely silent. But what do you make of this whole business, Sinclair having their stations read this segment, and then just the effect that it's had locally, if any effect, really? I don't think it had any effect. They read it in the morning. I mean, I don't think it had any effect, really. But with the whole business with Channel 10.
You know, I've been, since I started hearing about this, I've been trying to figure out what I'm missing. Because it's basically a branding commercial. You know, you have your anchors say, hey, we're a great place to come for news. There's a lot of places you don't want to get your news, and we're not one of those. I mean, that's basically what they say. It's not as if it's government propaganda or anything like that. It's an advertising spot. So it seems so strange to me that this has become such a hot button in a lot of media circles. And you kind of wonder if it's, you know, if it's kind of like the Old Testament scapegoat, you know, where everybody puts their sins on a goat and then pushes it out into the desert and it goes out there and dies. It's almost like that. Like they're feeling guilty, or they're trying to distract the mainstream news media more broadly. And this was just somebody put together a clever video overlapping different people reading a script, which is always going to seem kind of strange. It's, you know, it's an off-putting. And you do that, and so they all say, okay, this is what we're not. We're not doing that. It's almost like they're trying to get their own sins off of them. Especially, and what really drove this home for me was one of the people really out in front of this whole thing being cited by journalists all over social media was Dan Rather, who kind of driven out of his job in disgrace when he tried to pawn off a Microsoft Word document as an old memo related to former President Bush and his military service. So when Dan Rather is out there criticizing a company which was saying, hey, we don't do fake news, the whole thing becomes surreal and makes me feel like I'm missing something there.
I agree with you. I think it will be interesting, especially even, you know, a former employee yesterday wrote in the Providence Journal that viewers should boycott Channel 10. Advertisers threw out the idea they should pull their money from Channel 10, and also that politicians should boycott Channel 10. I will be curious, though, because there is some buzz, Justin, if the progressives are loud enough about it, if somehow this would force Gina Raimondo, Governor Raimondo, to cancel her weekly segment. I don't think she will, because I don't think maybe if her poll numbers were better and she weren't up for re-election, but I don't think they seem to like that segment with Dan Janik that she does once a week. And it's an exclusive thing that she has of her at the State House. She gets her message out. Nothing against Dan Janik, not exactly the fight motif she described it as, going one-on-one. Any prediction or thought on whether or not she cancels that segment and says, almost kind of to appease the progressives, I'm not going on some Sinclair station?
I think it would have to gather some more steam before she would do that. And it is a good promotion for her. And that's also, you know, when you do get blowback when you make those kinds of decisions. So you want to make sure as a politician you're actually going to get something for the blowback that you will face. And I think she probably, so far, I don't know, I'm the only person, local politician I've seen say much of anything is Senator James Sheehan from New Hampshire. Warwick.
North Kingstown, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he was in Warwick. That's the only one I've seen so far was him. And he was just essentially saying, as a consumer, he was switching his viewing habits. I think you'd have to see a bit more of the rock rolling, sort of like what we saw with Senator Kettle. You know, it takes a bunch of people calling for things, and then it just kind of gains momentum before the higher ups act on it. And I think that's what we would see in that case. And I don't know that this has any legs, because as I say, most people, often I have to remind myself that most people don't pay this close attention to all this stuff. And so they'll hear a little something here and there and they'll go, oh, Sinclair, Channel 10 did something strange. And then if it gets to the point where they actually have to find out what it is and they say, wait, but it was like an advertisement, it won't make any sense to anybody. So this one I don't think has much more steam in it to go.
I would tend to agree with you. And if anything, their political reporter, Bill Rapley, who you used to do a segment with, I follow people's habits on Twitter, what he likes, what he shares. He certainly, to me, seems to have a certain viewpoint on politics. It is not in any way in keeping with Sinclair. If anything, Rapley, he's always liking and sharing Bob Plain, Rhode Island Future, that whole crowd. So Rapley, to me, leans very, very left, very liberal left. It's not as if suddenly out of nowhere Channel 10 is doing these glossy pieces on Patricia Morgan and Alan Fung and the Republican Party. So I don't think we've seen anything like that as far as their bias. If anything, you could go back a couple of years ago, 2010, when it was that final Channel 10 debate where you had Chafee, Robitaille, Frank Caprio, and Ken Block. And a lot of people depicted that Rapley was like the fifth candidate on stage because he was pretty rough with Robitaille and grilling him on immigration and things like that. I want to move into, again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Justin, what do you make of this flap over and the political overtones to it of the 2020 census? As far as, you know, there was a piece in yesterday's Providence Journal, the three mayors writing against it, Jorge Loras of the mayor of Central Falls and also Mayor Grabian. You know, you had the Raimondo showed up at the press conference. They seemed like they didn't have their talking points initially, because then they were initially saying that it's unfair to ask the question. Then they're saying it's that they didn't alert people enough to how they're supposed to fill it out. And then, you know, it's against the Constitution to ask that question. There's a lot of blowback on this whole thing. And as the usual suspects, it's the Democrats and it's those of, you know, this could affect all of us, when it really just seems to come down to that they are afraid that people that are in the state living here illegally will not check the box, won't participate in it, and then that'll affect the overall count of Rhode Islanders.
Yeah, well, the constitutional argument kind of gets to the point for me. I think Attorney General Peter Kilmartin arguing is that the Constitution requires an accurate count, and that's it's like they want it to be accurate as far as the number of people, maybe, but not whether they're eligible to vote, whether they should count as citizens and for that purpose. And it's that game that I think is disconcerting about the whole controversy. You're asking, it's a census basically to lay out a political map so that we can know where our representatives should be assigned in the United States. So you kind of want to know who's a citizen and how many people are going to be represented who are eligible voters in each of those districts. And the idea that it just goes, you know, people who are legally here, they won't take the census because they'll be afraid they'll be captured and deported by the Trump administration. Those are the lengths that some of these people are going in order to make this seem like a controversial issue. And it really isn't and shouldn't be. And the insinuation that Rhode Island ought to be getting credit for people who aren't here legally is just bizarre, whether you're talking about our representation, which we are on the cusp of losing a congressional seat. We're 157 Rhode Islanders away from losing that. Whether for that or for federal funding for programs, these are all things, at the very least, I mean, even if you're going to concede that maybe the government should be counting people and giving benefits to people who aren't citizens or even who are in the country legally, even if you concede that point, you want it to be accurate. You want to have some sense of who's here so you can make policy decisions. Do we want to expand Medicaid, for example? Well, you can't really answer that question if you don't know how many people are actually going to be getting it and how many of them are citizens and not. So it's this strange idea of we need to be non-transparent so we can encourage transparency. And I just don't see how that sells well to anybody who spends a moment thinking about it.
It's just comical, Justin, to me, that they're trying to argue almost that it's like an invasion of privacy, it's against the Constitution, to ask a very simple question. Are you a citizen of the country? I mean, there's no other country that operates this way. I mentioned the head of the Dominican Republic came in campaigning. He talked about they can't wait to try to get rid of all the Haitian illegals in the Dominican Republic. You have Mexico. I mean, they don't allow people there. But they almost seem that they want to try to pretend, meaning the Democrat leaders that are against it, that it's about something else when we all know exactly what it is. This is not a question regarding on the census of what, you know, what gender do you identify with now, or what is your religion, or what is, you know, what is your sexual preference? Nothing. It's a very simple, straightforward question that I think your people are asked on every job application. They're asked anytime you try to do any type of transaction. It's a very, very simple question. And that is, check the box, yes or no, are you an American citizen? And that is what they feel. Well, that is not what this country is built on. It's about a melting pot and you have no right to ask these people and everything else. I mean, it, to me, for an administration that tends not to be transparent, it is so transparent what their problem is. And we know what it is. They have encouraged sanctuary state. They have encouraged people to come here and live here illegally from Providence and Pawtucket, Central Falls, primarily those three. And now they are afraid that with this census and with president, that they will not respond appropriately. And then that led to the whole foolishness of maybe we should pay people $10,000. But I think they're going to lose because I think, and especially I would love to see that on, you know, some kind of polling question. Do you think it is? Is that out of bounds to ask someone a very simple question? Are you an American citizen? I think that's a very fair question to ask. You're not, especially in this day and age, we're learning how much Facebook is stealing people's privacy and their buying habits and everything else. Are you an American citizen? Is not, to me, out of bounds of a question to ask.
Oh, no, certainly not. And it's another one of those areas. It's almost like the Sinclair Media thing, which you kind of wonder, what is the controversy here? And the target is probably more than anything just the far-left progressives that the local Democrat politicians want to woo. They want to be seen, you know, the same reason we see Gina Raimondo doing the Me Too kind of stuff. You know, just they want to be seen fighting the Trump administration, putting into place the sort of policy, I don't even want to call them policies, but the more feel-good approach to government of the progressives in Rhode Island. And this is one way to do it. You make this simple question, which has been asked before. It's over hundreds of years. It's in some way or another, censuses have addressed this question. So it's just not a controversy, but they want to drum it up and make it seem like it is. And for a lesson in this, you just look at the coverage of national politics. People joke about how homelessness becomes a problem all of a sudden when there's a Republican in the White House, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Or there are certain policies, the Mexico City policy, funding abortion in other country with aid. You know, every Democrat administration comes into the White House and ends it, and every Republican puts it back when they come in. It's just a back and forth kind of thing, but every time the Republican does that, it becomes this big controversy that's going to kill people. And I think it's a similar thing like that. It's, well, we're putting the Republicans in the White House, we're going to put this question back on the census. Oh, no, you know, we're going to run around with our hair on fire, and we're going to shoot out our emails to our base and say, hey, Gina Raimondo needs another $1 million to fight the Trump administration on immigration, and he's going to put this question on the census, which is going to make people, I don't know, use a little bit more graphite off their pencil while they fill out the form. And that's really the target, I think. But to the extent that there's some content behind it, it is. It's we want to, as we've discussed before, draw in people who are going to need government services so that we can pay union members to provide services, get all the votes from the union members and the people receiving the services. And that's sort of the business model. And the Trump administration has sort of proven the point I've been making for years, which is that's a very dangerous way to go about things. Because if the country's mood changes just a little bit and you get a different kind of administration, suddenly your cash cow dies. And that So that's not a future you want to be building for your state.
Justin, finally, and again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with Justin Katz. It is Political Monday, managing editor, OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, the PawSox, I found it interesting. It was recently that it was a reporter, I think it was Kathy Gregg or someone, Governor Raimondo was getting in an elevator, and someone asked her about the PawSox, and she said, ask the speaker about it. And the speaker has kind of let out that he is doing his negotiations with them. I'm hearing he's almost trying to find a way to push it through, but that he would vote against it because he's on such thin ice in his district and worried about getting reelected. But what I really found ironic over the weekend is this has been nonstop since, you know, last July. If you remember Mayor Grabe and the Mayor of Pawtucket, we can't lose them. And, you know, they're going to leave and the deadline's coming. And then Worcester's put out and then they come out with the whole name of it's going to be Slater Park. And we, Pawtucket's our home. And we have watched all these meetings. So finally, it's still, now here we are into April and still no decision on anything like that. We don't know if there's going to be a vote on it before the end of the session. And yet they have their opening day on Saturday, an opening weekend for the PawSox. Now, again, I'm not saying it was 70 and sunny, but for all the effort they have put in with the listing tour or going out and meeting the constituents and that first night when they had their people up there for 3 hours hogging all the time up at the State House and the smell of the grass, and it's about kids' smiles and cotton candy and the crack of the bat and everything else. And Justin, they only get 2,300 people. I'm not even saying they were paid supposed attendance on Saturday. And on Sunday, it looked like a ghost town. I do not see and hear any appetite of people that are saying, we need to give these people the money to keep this team here. And it still just looms over as all of these reps are up for re-election in November.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they were filling the stadium, you know, granted it's cold, if they were able to fill a stadium on a cold day in April, then they wouldn't need the government to be giving them subsidies in order to keep their business model floating. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And it's like the last refuge when you can't make something happen based on the popularity of your product. You turn to government and say, oh, well, government always has a hand in this kind of thing. And unfortunately, that's the way baseball has gone. It was interesting to see that the game on Friday, the intended season opener was snowed out. And you see the articles with the little, oh, it doesn't have a modern drainage system, you know, hint, hint, that's why we need a new stadium. But there's just not the groundswell of support. And if there were, either for tickets or for politics, and if there were, the politicians would be jumping right on it. It wouldn't be Raimondo saying, ask this person, and Mattiello saying, oh, I'm trying to get a better deal for the people and trying to work something out, like, as you say. If it were popular, that wouldn't be an issue. And it ought to go away, frankly, this whole idea that we subsidize
absolutely
any kind of business.
And we saw this past spring. I mean, PC hosted number one Villanova at the Dunk. It was sold out. Ed Cooley, they have built a successful basketball program with Ed Cooley. The Providence College Friars basketball games, I think this year they had at least 5 sellouts. And then, you know, and some of the other games were 10,000 plus and so forth. The Ryan Center, they beat PC with Coach Dan Hurley, a very exciting team, made it to the top 32. URI went on a huge winning streak, climbed as high as 16 in the country. They were selling out the Ryan Center. You have a product that is popular and the demand comes out. They are trying to cram this down our throat, and it's just, it's not there. I don't know how else to, you know, it's just not there. The interest is not there. This is 2018. There's too many other things. Yes, it was cold. Yes, it's a long season, but, you know, there's an old expression, you can't make a pig sing or lipstick on the pig. There is just not an interest to go out there. So, and then to think that if they feel that there is an interest and still want to do it, then so be it. You know, have at it. But I think it's interesting. In this morning's Providence Journal, they put those bumper cars on ice because less people are ice skating. And they would have been happy with whatever was 86,000. They brought in 132,000. They're going to improve the product. More people know about it. I think they should keep the bumper car thing going in Kennedy Plaza all summer long and keep families going down there. There's a market. The people will come out for it. They'll go to it. But you can't. I agree with you. This business has, well, it'll be good. And so government's got to jump in. If there was real interest in that, I mean, that place would have had a good crowd over the weekend. If they put as much into the statehouse hearings or everything, there would have been a good crowd. The season opener, when the Eagles play in September, Philadelphia Eagles, with whoever's going to be a quarterback, I don't think they're ever going to have a tough time filling the Eagles stadium. In fact, the game's already sold out. Every Patriot game is sold out. The interest in the Patriots, is Gronk going to stay? Is Brady going to retire? They got rid of Danny Amendola. The NFL draft, the Patriots have all these draft picks. You know, follow the public. Follow the public. The public will give you what they want. You don't. It's 2018. It's too bad. But minor league baseball, Justin, I'll give you the final word. It is not on the horizon. Is it possible people just don't want to go? In the 50s, there were thousands of bowling alleys. Now there's like 100 in the United States. Bowling is not as popular. Times change. People don't want to go sit in the cold and watch a baseball game. There's other things to do.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And that really just gets to the point. Government has become a, especially in Rhode Island, right back to the Superman building. You know, it's a way to preserve things that people want for an aesthetic reason. They hate to see it go. And so they hate to see something change. And so they go to government and say, freeze this in ice so that we can look at it and we can know it's there, even though we're not going to go to the games or use the Superman building for any other purpose. That's just not an appropriate use of government, mostly
no.
Because it prevents you from doing other things. You want to go tell Amazon we're an innovative people? Well, stop trying to hold on to a 100-year-old building and a falling down baseball stadium
yes.
and say, look, this isn't what people want. We're going to let people tell us what they want. Maybe we have a giant ice skating bumper car thing. Maybe that's the new thing.
Whatever it's going to be, you know.
Yeah, exactly. If you turn around and say, you know what, we need more cars.
Yes.
At some point, at somewhere in the economy and in the government's budget in particular, you're going to have to say, no, I'm sorry, we can't buy any more of the ice bumper cars because we owe debt on this stadium
right.
that nobody's going to. And that's really, and it shows you what a gamble we would be taking, because if we have a new stadium, then ticket sales will boom. Well, you know, we don't know that, and it hasn't been suggested by experience. So let's let that do what it's going to do. If people want to support it, if they can find a way to raise the money, great. That's wonderful. But if not, you know, the world goes on, and
that's
we
right.
need to let Rhode Islanders find what Rhode Islanders want to do for entertainment, but also for work and for their money and for the industries we would actually have here.
Folks, he is the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. He's Justin Katz. Justin, great job. We'll talk to you again.
Yeah, have a great week. Thanks.
All right, folks, there he is. It's John DePietro, 766-1380. I mean, times change, period. And then times have changed with that. Good afternoon. You're up on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, John. It's Dave from...
Hey, Humphrey. How are you, Dave? Go right ahead.
Well, a couple of points, John. You're forgetting a couple of things. One, the game was televised. So you're missing how many people, the ratings for the people who are watching the game on television as opposed to going to the game.
I will concede that, although I would think that they were minuscule how many people were watching.
I don't think they're Roseanne numbers.
But, no,
you know,
they're not.
Have to factor that in. And then the other thing, John.
Hold on. Are you being sarcastic or being serious about that?
I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay. I thought so. I was going to say, there's no way. I mean, I don't know what the number was, but it was a very, very small number.
All right, and then the other point is, John, and I'm being sarcastic again, so bear with me, but the train station hasn't been opened in Pawtucket yet, so the people can't get to Pawtucket to go to the ballpark.
Yeah, but the new train station's not going to go anywhere the new ballpark. It doesn't go anywhere near McCoy. Is it possible that people just are not interested anymore? I mean, if you talk to a lot of bar owners, they'll tell you that the business has changed. People, because of DUI laws and because of dating apps, not as many people go out to try to meet people in bars as much. So a lot of nightclubs have changed. The whole ultimate, there are sports bars that are big, but, you know, you have to change with the times. The idea, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, look at the demographics of Little League Baseball. I mean, yes. Has anybody done the numbers to say, how many kids played Little League Baseball in the 70s and the 80s?
Huge.
How many kids play Little League Baseball now?
Well, Dave, that's the whole thing. I mean, I said, between spring soccer, lacrosse, other options, if you play football, a lot of times they start training. Then they also have summer leagues with basketball. But just lacrosse, soccer, and the pace of the game, it's changed. Little leagues have dwindled down. You don't have a bunch of kids playing. They scramble to have enough teams to play. And even then, and that is, you know, I remember baseball tryouts. Now I'm, you know, told by everybody that anyway, if you try out, you make the team. They're so desperate to get people. So the idea that, and look at the Paw Sox. I mean, on Tuesdays, it's going to be like Hispanic Day, right? It's going to be a complete Hispanic name, the name of the Paw Sox. But if they were really smart and they wanted to go with the demographic, that should be a stadium for some kind of soccer team. That's who, thank you, Dave. That's who lives in Providence, Pawtucket, and Central Falls, and have some kind, I know you have the New England Revolution, but some kind of a soccer team. That, at least, then I think you could maybe get some kind of crowd. It would make more sense on the changing demographic. I think that would be the move. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. You can call in 766-1380, 766-1380. I want to remind you, if you're ever in an accident, pick up the phone and call West Fountain Auto Body. It's Kenny. It's Patricia. It's your vehicle. Call West Fountain Auto Body today, 272-3340. Located 400 West Fountain Street in Providence. West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. They're going to work for you, not the insurance company. It's West Fountain Auto Body. From a small dent to a nearly totaled vehicle, you can depend on West Fountain Auto Body. Call them today, 272-3340, 272-3340. They're the best. They'll work for you, not the insurance company, and they'll handle everything, but call them first, West Fountain Auto Body, 272-3340. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Here I am, weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., a.m. 1380, and also it's 99.9 FM, and it's WNRI. Good afternoon to everyone watching, tuning in. People love the Facebook Live. Facebook Live brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. Our producer, Kerry, does a great job. Folks, spring will be here. Boy, it was cold this weekend. Today's another chilly day. But now is the time to start getting your lawn in order for the season. So make sure you call the lawn doctor. Now, last year, I'm telling you, I was ready to give up on the independent lawn. I was ready to have Father Healy come over with the holy water and give its last rites. Then I called Lawn Doctor. A friend of mine said, you know, I've tried these different lawn companies. Juan, you got to try Lawn Doctor. And they were right. Best lawn ever guaranteed. It looks like Augusta National. Call the Lawn Doctor. 401-392-1025. Lawn fertilization, weed control, tree and shrub care, organic options, tick and mosquito control. Call the Lawn Doctor, 392-1025. Crabgrass control, time release fertilizer, broadleaf weed control, professional blend of high calcium line. It's Lawn Doctor. And don't forget about the tick and mosquito control. Lawn Doctor, 392-1025. 392-1025 for Lawn Doctor. Now, tonight should be interesting television to see exactly what plays out with, number one, I think Sean Hannity is going to continue to hammer Jimmy Kimmel. As much as Kimmel is saying, all right, let's tone this whole thing down, I don't think so. I think Sean Hannity is going to come out guns blazing. And I'm also curious to see what exactly is going to happen with Laura Ingraham on Channel 12, on Fox at 10 o'clock. Just, she's been off for a while. I think by and large, I watched Greater Boston over the weekend. They do a great segment called Beat the Press. And she tweeted out something that in hindsight, the kid's 17. maybe not the worst thing, but it has been an unbelievable response at how aggressively, even Bill Maher, you know, to his credit, I don't like Bill Maher on his HBO show, but Bill Maher even said, you know, these boycotts and everything, this is ridiculous. It's harassment. They're going after all the advertisers of the Laura Ingraham program. I like Laura Ingraham. She's brilliant. I've interviewed her before. I've had the chance to meet her. She is really, really fabulous. And I think, again, there's really is a double standard of who they go after, who they don't go after. And if that something like that had been said on, which it wouldn't, but MSNBC or CNN, I don't think you would have seen the way the liberals have been going after Laura Ingraham. So should be interesting tonight on Fox. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. You can call in 766-1380, 766-1380. You can email me, john@depietro.com. This portion of the John DePietro Show is brought to you by the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. The Lodge Pub and Eatery, whether it's lunch or dinner, stop in, visit them. A great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Some local drama will be, will Governor Raimondo go on her regular segment on Channel 10 this week? Now, Channel 10 is owned by Sinclair. Sinclair had all their stations read a statement saying that we don't do fake news, that we are going to try to report accurately to you. There's been a huge blow up. The Journal has done a number of stories, even the headline, The Danger of WJR's False News Segment. And they have the pictures of Frank Coletta and Allison Bologna. And there was a piece in yesterday's Providence Journal where a former Channel 10 staffer is telling companies to not advertise with Channel 10, that people shouldn't watch Channel 10, and that politicians should boycott Channel 10. Now, I believe my prediction is if Governor Raimondo were at Charlie Baker, Governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker-type numbers, and was going to cruise to re-election, then maybe she'd say, you know what, I'm not going on. She is not in that situation at all. And the free media and a chance to get her word out, principal, be damned, I believe, will be the reaction from the Raimondo people. They will do anything to get reelected. You know what else? I am hearing rumblings from different Democrat folks that people are starting to question the Raimondo people. When are you going to start to spend some money? She has raised $4 million, the governor, this failed governor, who Matt Brown, from what I understand, cannot be bought off. And if Matt Brown gets 8 points, 10 points, Raimondo is out of it. She's at 38% on a good day. And 8 points, 10 points, Governor Raimondo will not be reelected with 28% of the vote. It's not going to happen. Never mind if Governor Chafee still waits in the wings and whether or not he would jump in. And I've already told you how much he despises her. So it remains unknown. But people in Democrat circles are starting to question, what are they waiting for? When do they start to spend some of this money? Now, like I've told you, I believe they're going to invest a huge amount of money into a ground game. The governor and her people, they are going to spend huge amounts of money on what they call the get out the vote and then the register people to vote. That's where they're going to end up spending the bulk of their money. With notaries, they are going to go into Providence, Pawtucket, and Central Falls and try to identify every individual, regardless of where they're from, that is 18 years and older, and get them registered to vote and then get them an emergency ballot to vote, period. Or a mail ballot, emergency ballot, whatever. They're going to notarize them and they're going to bring it to them and say, we need you to fill this out, and they are going to pay big money for people to go out there, super notaries, and find these individuals and have them get them to vote. That is what I am telling you, that is going to be the strategy for them in going forward. Folks, 766-1380, the Plus Sox thing, though. Again, I know the weather was not great, but I got to admit, I am surprised that they didn't make more of an effort to pack that. Maybe they did. That's even worse. Think of that. If they were trying to get 8,000, 10,000 people in the seats and all they could manage was 2,300, and that's not 2,300 paid. That you convinced 2,300 people, allegedly. Someone I spoke to said there were under 2,000 there, but whatever. Just convince them to drive to McCoy Stadium for opening day. That is not a positive sign for the Paw Sox. Folks, I want to remind you, good afternoon, it's John DePietro. You can email me, john@depietro.com. Follow me on both Facebook and Twitter, John DePietro Show. But remember, our friends Steve and Alice at Water Filter Company, call them today at 294-2400, Water Filter Company. Bottled water. Remember, bottled water is an unregulated industry. Instead, call Steve and Alice at Water Filter Company at 294-2400, Water Filter Company. They're the original, the best. Since 1986, serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts, it's Water Filter Company. But this business of the census, you know, how is that going to shake out? Remember, they invite people from other countries to come live in Rhode Island. Why? Because we're known as a sanctuary state.
Illegals come through Arizona, claim Rhodey as their homer. This state has gone insane. They come here cause it's free, here they're on welfare. They arrive here as they drive here on my train. Oh, loser, he tells Trump, I'll ignore ya. Honeyville is the border. He welcomes them right through. Illegals, you come to Rhode Island. This little old Rhode Island is sanctuary for you.
And there he is, folks, the crooner at large, Tim Brooks. Singing the state theme song, Rhode Island, a sanctuary for you. But it's got to end. It has to end. We can't continue.
Because they live here on the south side.
They love the south side.
401 has become the place to go.
The caravan. They're all heading to Rhode Island. Yep.
He wants to build his wall.
Build that wall.
Maybe around Central Falls.
That'd be a good start.
Pawtucket and Providence, too.
Build the wall around Providence.
Cause illegals,
yep,
you come to Rhode Island.
They love it.
Cause little old Rhode Island,
big time,
is sanctuary for you.
There he is, the Starlight Orchestra, our friend Tim Brooks, singing Rhode Island, a sanctuary for you. Well, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. Folks, remember, right now, what a great time to upgrade your phone with our friend Sal at Metro PCS. Stop in and see him. 5 convenient locations. There's no one better for service. He'll save you money and put you into a brand new smartphone. Stop in and see him. Sal and Metro PCS. Stop in and see him. 5 locations. 1027 Cranston Street in Cranston, right next door to the Rite Aid. And then also you can find Sal 989 Manton Avenue in Providence, 1852 Smith Street in North Providence, 1503 Atwood Avenue in Johnston, and also 1553 Plainfield Pike in Johnston. You can always call Sal at 332-5051, 332-5051. It's Sal, his 5 locations with Metro PCS. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Now, coming up tomorrow on the show, we will have a pair of tickets for you and a guest, Tony Bennett. He's going to be at the Providence Performing Arts Center. Tickets for Tony Bennett tomorrow. And then Wednesday, my special guest, don't miss, will be Sean Spicer right here on the John DePietro Show. We're back tomorrow at 11. Stay tuned. The John Dion Show, Captain Dion, is next right here on AM 1380 and 99.9 FM. And it's WNRI.
WNRI, Woonsocket. WNRI.